Welcome back. We are back with part two of our free agency trade tracker extravaganza. There's just too much going on. We had to make it a two-parter. So we left off with the Kansas City Chiefs. We are now back at it, starting with the Los Angeles Chargers. So they re-signed Mike Williams. They brought in Gerald Everett, and I think that is one of the sneakiest underrated fantasy signings of the year. Chargers get another weapon for their young quarterback and offense. Mike Williams, I don't like, but I think Everett is now in the top 12 tight end conversation on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for him not to be. I mean, we saw what Jared Cook was able to do, even though they were deploying multiple tight ends last year. I mean, there was Donald Parham for a little bit. They even used Steven Anderson probably more than most people would like. And Gerald Everett has always been a particular interest to the two of us. He just hasn't really lived up to expectations. I mean, he got the opportunity in Seattle to follow, I forget who the OC was, from the Rams. We were like, oh, it's going to happen. I mean, who else is there? I mean, you know, yeah, Disley maybe, but there's little else to be had. And he was able to turn that into 48 receptions for 478 yards and for touchdowns, which all represented career highs for him. But that's the sad reality. He's 5 years in the NFL, and that's his career high. So now he's moving to another new team where – two of those tight ends are still there. They re-signed Donald Parham, exclusive rights free agent, and Trey McKitty is there as well, who they drafted last year. I don't know if they still have Steven Anderson, but they kind of deploy like a tight end by committee in Los Angeles. So why it's a good landing spot with Justin Herbert, I'm just going to start to temper expectations on Gerald Everett, but I do think, to your point, he has tight end one upside if he's clearly the guy there. You should on Mike Williams real quick, because that's what you do every time he comes up with the Chargers, but they clearly prioritized him, gave him $20 million per year on a three-year deal. Good thing they signed him when they did, because shit, I wouldn't even get Mike Williams out of bed today. You know, so kudos to the Chargers for getting the deal done and keeping the upper end of that wide receiver core kind of consistent for Justin Herbert. They are clearly in win now mode. We mentioned that with the Broncos earlier. They're the ones that traded for Khalil Mack from the Browns. They're the ones that are from Browns from the Bears. They're the ones that re-signed Mike Williams. They bring in Gerald Everett. I think they signed an offensive lineman, if I'm not mistaken. They're going all in as well, which makes sense of why they gave Mike Williams the money, because he really does work in this offense.
Yeah. Sticking same city, different team, but looking at the LA Rams, not a ton, really. They brought in Allen Robinson, who, you know, he's had flashes, Curry. We've seen the upside and kind of been whimpering lately. They're saying they're interested in bringing Beckham back, but I'm sure Beckham wants more money than they want to give him. With Robinson there and Woods out, he kind of is right now the wide receiver too on what's been a pretty decent offense with Matt Stafford at the helm. The upside's there, but I got to see it before I'm willing to pay market prices for Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the best quarterback he's ever caught passes from, but everyone said that already, so we'll just save that narrative. They did trade away Robert Woods, so right now he's the wide receiver two in Los Angeles, opposite Cooper Kupp, who's going to get a shit ton of attention. So there's no more excuses for Allen Robinson. I mean, he seemed to be checked out with the Bears last year. He did not want to be there. They franchise tag him. The situation sucked. Matt Nagy was not meant to be an NFL head coach. It couldn't have been worse for Allen Robinson. Now he lands in an ideal spot at present. Whether they re-sign Beckham or not, Beckham's injury was so late that there was no doubt he is going to be a pup candidate to start next season. And I believe that's the first six games of the year. So Robinson is slated to be the wide receiver two in Los Angeles right now. And that's good news for his dynasty value. He's another guy that I think landed in that. I think he got 3 and 45, if I'm not mistaken. So he had to accept a little bit of a lesser deal. I mean, shit, pennies considering.
I can't believe he got that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's probably where he's at right now, right? I believe he is a 29-year-old receiver, if I'm not mistaken. He's kind of a few years removed from really having any significant impact on the field. He's looking for a championship. He is 28 years old at present. He got $3 million and $46.5 million, right? So just $15 million a year.
That's crazy.
Less than Mike Williams got. So age helps in that scenario. And so does, you know, staying with the team, you know, that tags you. So great for Allen Robinson. Matt Stafford will get him the ball. I mean, I don't know he could have really landed anywhere better. Reports were that he had a heavy interest from the Eagles as well and opted to go to the Rams. I do not blame him for wanting to do that. Would have liked to see him come. Needed some stability in the wide receiver room, but he landed in the perfect spot for him, for the Rams, and for, you know, Allen Robinson dynasty owners.
Where the Allen Robinson career experience fully began. Jacksonville Jaguars, next up on the list, spent a ton of money, and I don't think this team is any better than it was a year ago. Brought in Evan Ingram. They've had some holes at tight end for several years here, so they think they fixed that. Wide receiver, too much money for Christian Kirk, too much money for Zay Jones, re-signed Laquon Treadwell. I get what they're doing. They think they're giving weapons to Trevor Lawrence, try to improve this team. I don't see it with the players they brought in. I still think this is one of the worst teams in the NFL as it stands right now. They're going to get ATN back, so you're basically getting a first-round running back for free in year two, even though his foot probably will never be the same, and I was not high on coming in. So I'm giving thumbs down to all these moves, especially if you factor in the money they spent. I don't think they're better. I don't like any of the moves. I want no part of this team at all.
Yeah, very well said. I mean, they did land Brandon Scherff, who was the top-rated guard in free agency from the Washington Commanders, but they also lost Andrew Norwell to the Washington Commanders. So it's almost like they traded offensive guards. It wasn't upgrading Scherff, but they needed to help out Trevor Lawrence a bit. They failed to do so with the wide receivers, to your point. I mean, Christian Kirk is not worth 4 and 72. I think he's a good ancillary receiver, a good wide receiver 2/3 on an NFL roster. He is not a wide receiver 1. And he's not getting paid like one either, because 4 years and $120 million to Tyreek Hill is a lifetime difference in the 4 and 72 to Christian Kirk got. But I mean, that's still too much for a Christian Kirk.
Let's pretend you're Jacksonville. Would you rather have Kirk or DJ Chark? I like Chark better than Kirk, personally.
Well, it's clear they did not want DJ Chark anymore.
Well,
because
he
was there, and they just said, good day, sir. You know, Zay Jones is another overpay. I mean, he's a good wide receiver, 3-4 on an NFL team, and he's going to be the 3 there because they still have Marvin Jones. They're reportedly trying to trade LaVisca Chenault. Good, free Visca, get him out of there, get him back in the slot where he belongs. Elsewhere, with a more creative coach, I had optimism for Doug Peterson, but it doesn't sound like that's the case with all these signings. Kirk, Zay Jones, re-signing with Con Treadwell. There's no room. They still have Marvin Jones. There's no room for LaVisca Chenault in this offense. And then they sign Evan Ingram, who pretty much is a slot wide receiver. And, you know, teams were looking at to play slot wide receiver for them. So good move for Evan Ingram. Doug Peterson's offense is very tight end friendly. I think he could have a really good year on a one-year prove-it deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But to your point, I don't know that they got any better than where they were ideally last year, where they had Shark, Marvin Jones, and LaVisca Chenault as their top pass catchers. Now they have Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones, and Zay Jones as their top pass catchers. So slightly better from the tight end position. Maybe got a little fortified on the offensive line, but they didn't really change, you know, what was in front of Trevor Lawrence that much. Hopefully they target wide receiver in the draft and continue to give him weapons. Getting Travis Etienne back will help, but you're right. I'm not crazy about the money that Jaguar spent on the skill position players. I do like Scherff, and they did get Darius Williams, who was a good add, and they did get Foye Olakan from the Falcons as a linebacker, but their skill position, as in fantasy football, were less than desirable.
Speaking of desirable, everybody wants to be in Miami if you go on the internet, but I hate it down there. But that's neither here nor there. They brought in Teddy Bridgewater as the backup to Tua. They signed Raheem Mostert, who played with Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel.
No, I was close. Who I actually like that signing for them. He comes in, he knows the system. He's probably going to have a bigger role than we ever thought he would. They also signed Chase Edmonds, who was Chase Edmonds, who was I was very excited about him landing here until they brought in Mostert. Cedric Wilson, another one. I liked him coming here from what I saw from him in Dallas a year ago. I was like, oh, look at that guy on the other side of the field of Jalen Waddle. And then they brought in Tyreek Hill, bumping Cedric Wilson to a very distant wide receiver three. I don't even know where you want to start.
Let's start with the fact that they added Connor Williams and Teron Armstead as well to fix that shitty offensive line that was a problem where they totally swung and missed on upgrading in the draft last year. Now it was to get Jalen Waddle, as you indicated, but I don't think we discussed Tyreek Hill at the end of last episode as it kind of broke today for us. So, the impact for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's a massive impact for the Miami Dolphins, as well as Hill and Waddle might be the most dangerous wide receiver combination in the NFL right now. I mean, I'm like trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, they're Cincinnati Bengals, maybe comparable as far as the top two are concerned, but just true game wreckers, Hill and Waddle after the catch guys, that's what that McDaniel offense. I mean, you saw what Deebo Samuel did last year, getting the athletes like Ayuk and George Kittle the ball in space and just letting them create. This is good, scary upgrades in 1 year for this offense. Biggest impact is the Tua. I mean, look what they brought in. Quality running backs. Good.
Thinking about the last episode, I mentioned with the Bears doing nothing to help Justin Fields succeed. Miami's doing what you need to do, especially if you're unsure about your quarterback. If Tua sucks this year, they know they have to move on. There's no question it's on him. They've surrounded, they've given, the line is better on paper. They've put good playmakers around him, elite playmakers around him. So if Miami does not take the next step forward now, they know they have to move on from Tua. So I like the all-in strategy and putting it on this guy who was, an early draft pick that they – assume they were going to build the franchise around. So I like what they're doing. I don't know if Tua is up to the task. I haven't seen enough, so it's a little scary.
To your point, perfect timing. Tua is in year three, so next year is when they would have to decide if they're going to commit to fifth year option. Mm-hmm. But still, super cheap as far as NFL quarterback money is concerned. So this is when you do this. This is how you figure it out, right? You go after the top left tackle in the market. You throw all the money necessary at Tyreek Hill to get him there. You go and get these other options that they have brought in as well and make this a viable offense. They had a quality defense last year. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you still assume that the Bills are the class in the division. The Patriots are competitive. I mean, they were a playoff team last year. So it's not as if they're not there. The Jets are going in the right direction, but Miami is the team that is making power moves right now with their new head coach and these offensive skill position players. So it's the unexpected offseason continues. And to speak on that Tyreek Hill extension, Albert Breer, the details are out. We already said it's a 4-year, $120 million deal. Hill lands $72.2 million injury guarantee that vests into a full guarantee next March. 52.535 is fully guaranteed at signing, and Hill will get $75 million over the first 3 years of this deal. So they're paying him while they don't have to pay Tua. That's what they're doing. Tyreek Hill is getting mid-tier quarterback money while Tua is getting rookie wage scale first-round pick quarterback money.
With no state taxes.
That's how you can make it happen. Yeah. So it's what a time to be alive. It's so excited to see what this Miami offense is going to look like next year. I mean, it's crazy that there keeps being this one-upsmanship this offseason. It was the Aaron Rodgers, then he stayed. And then it was franchising tagging Davante Adams, but he's not going to leave. And then it was trading Davante Adams. That was the big trade. It was the Russell Wilson trade. Trumped Aaron Rodgers. Then it was the trade of the Davante Adams to the Raiders. And you're like, shit. I mean, can it get any bigger? Boom. Now it's Tyreek Hill getting traded to the Miami Dolphins. I mean, what is going to be next?
It's been fun. See what happens with the Baker Mayfield thing. I mean, not that he's a bigger name, but there's still names. I mean, there's still number one overall pick. He's still floating around there. Yeah, this is craziness. And the buy low on Tua window has slammed shut on your fingertips. So good luck to that. As we're sitting here, I'm getting offers for Teddy Bridgewater, where I've thrown him out in a few spots to Tua owners. So they're sniffing around, because Tua will probably miss time and Teddy will get a few games with Tyreek. So get selling while you can.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Moving on from them to the Minnesota Vikings. The only thing they did was sign Za'Darius Smith, ultimately, who told the Ravens thanks but no thanks for their low ball injury offer and went and signed for more with the Vikings. But yes, nothing on offense. I think they extended or restructured Kirk Cousins. That would probably be the only thing of significance. But no, nothing as far as free agency is concerned. So they're just running it back with Jefferson and Thielen as the pass catchers and Dalvin Cook as the running back. And you know, they did lose Tyler Conklin. So hopefully Irv Smith comes back healthy, because he is going to have a tremendous opportunity in that offense.
New England Patriots next up. Another team did nothing. Resigned the elderly James White, brought in Ty Montgomery, which is just, and they had Fournette in for a visit too, but yeah, they just keep piling in running backs here. But yeah, Ty Montgomery is kind of a poor man's James White. Did not do anything to move the needle for fantasy. I think Mac Jones does take a step forward this year, but Patriots don't typically make a splash in free agency. That was very rare last year. So nothing moving the needle here for fantasy.
No, I mean, you can see where Nick Caserio, Houston Texans footprint comes from the Patriots, because it's just stockpiling aged, versatile running backs, I guess. I mean, that's the move in free agency, try and scoop up cheap running back depth. You know, luckily Fournette didn't end up there, because not only would it have impacted Fournette's value, I mean, it would have cratered Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson's value. And then if White was back there, does it hurt Leonard Fournette as his pass catching upside? It would have been New England ugly. Terrible. From that running back. So luckily that was avoided. And we'll talk about, you know, they said playoff Lenny and Lombardi Lenny. Now it's called paid off Lenny is what I'm seeing on Twitter now, which is corny as shit and should stop. But move from the New England Patriots to the New Orleans Saints. Resigning Jameis Winston, rebuilding, Sean Payton leaves. You know, they restructure a shit ton of contracts to just get under the cap. They're bringing Winston in just for stability. Maybe Michael Thomas comes back and, you know, he can be a low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two for you. And Winston can keep the Alvin Kamara train rolling. But no huge free agent signings. They still need a ton of help at the wide receiver position. It's just this is the Saints just letting a year go by. And probably regrouping in 23, hopefully with a new quarterback. Jameis Winston kind of gets shortchanged a little bit, but it's clear he's not in their long-term plans. They keep giving him these short-term deals.
Yeah, and I liked him last year. I thought he looked good the little bit he was playing, but yeah, coming back, no Sean Payton. Mystery with what's going on with Michael Thomas. Kamara seems to be aging out a little bit to me. If I had him, I'd be trying to sell while I could.
Plus off-field issues now.
Yeah, this team is in my backyard. This team is, you know, they're not the fantasy viable Saints of old. So don't get locked into seeing that logo on the helmet and thinking, oh, fantasy points. I don't think they're going to be what they
want. And their offense, you know, not only adding, they've gotten worse. They lost Teron Armstead as the left tackle because of those cap issues. They couldn't re-sign him. So their offense is worse. It's not even the same as it was before Winston got hurt last year. It's worse. I don't care if Michael Thomas isn't going to be that much of an upgrade when you lose your left tackle. So
bad times down in New Orleans. Speaking of worse, New York Giants. This is a team that is in disarray. They got a lot of draft picks, so they have an opportunity to right the ship. Brought in Tyrod Taylor to back up Daniel Jones, signed Matt Breida. Devontae Booker's still out there. I could see Breida getting some of that work that was vacated by Devontae Booker. Losing Evan Ingram, they bring in Ricky Seals-Jones, who is, what, at this point, a lateral move possibly. So bad team, didn't do anything to get better. Nobody here is really fantasy viable. Breida becomes a little interesting if we see Barkley not really come back to full health and be the Barkley of old, but garbage for a garbage team.
Yeah, yeah, nothing really moved the needle here. I think Ricky Seals-Jones is interesting. He's flashed in a couple spots, but you know, is to your point, is it just lateral from Evan Engram to a Ricky Seals-Jones? Does he really have the upside to do anything that Evan
probably
Engram
his lower
didn't do?
Upside?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, Evan Engram is at least a hyper athlete, so go scoop him up if he's out there, obviously, because what else do they have at the tight end position? But they could also address in a draft. It's a pretty good tight end draft. Minus clearly Jalen Weidemeyer at this point in time.
We got to talk about that in another episode.
But I mean, outside of that, Tyrod Taylor, pure backup. He's not going to take Daniel Jones' job. They're going to give Daniel Jones every opportunity to see if he is or is not the guy this year. And then Matt Brady has Saquon insurance, whether it's trade or injury. You know, those are the concerns with him. But been an uneventful all season for the New York Giants. They do suck, and I'm happy about it. From one New York team to the other, re-signed two guys in Tevin Coleman and Braxton Berrios. Braxton Berrios looked great when he stepped in for Jamison Crowder, and they finally rewarded him for that. And then they brought in two tight ends in C.J. Uzomah and Tyler Conklin, as they know they needed to address that position as well. Zach Wilson loved the tight end in college.
$45 million. Don't forget
that. Too much money, but, you know, proven NFL contributors. CJ Uzomah most recently with the Bengals in their Super Bowl run. Tyler Conklin had a good year filling in for Irv Smith in Minnesota and cashed in as well. So, yeah, they're throwing money at the tight end position. Ryan Griffin wasn't the answer. Drafting Kenny Yeboah wasn't the answer. There was someone else that was there for a minute that wasn't the answer. They keep trying to figure out tight end. They're doing much less than we just talked about the Miami Dolphins doing, trying to give weapons to Zach Wilson, but he does have Elijah Moore. They did sign Corey Davis last year. There's a lot of reports saying that they're going to go wide receiver in the draft this year to try and help out the development of Zach Wilson. And then given two proven veteran tight end pass catchers is good for Wilson. None of these guys are true needle movers. They'll probably cannibalize each other at the tight end position. Most valuable guys, Braxton Berrios in PPR leagues. That's it.
I was in a dispersal recently, and I got Uzomah and Conklin before all this. Ah. So now I have two guys. Damn. Yeah. Got the screw on that one.
I love it.
We were in alphabetical order, but I use an old list. So the Las Vegas Raiders are officially the Oakland Raiders following the end. And they had one of the bigger moves, even though they haven't done anything really besides this, was the trade for Devontae Adams and giving him a monster contract, which took my breath away earlier when I saw it for the first time. You know, he has chemistry with Carr from his college days. Obviously makes the team better having a threat like him on the field, but I don't know what it does for the fantasy landscape. I don't see him getting hyper-targeted twice. He almost had 169 targets from Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers' targets are better than Derek Carr targets. Whether you believe Carr's an elite quarterback or not, he's not in the same category as Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think he sees the volume. I think they're lower quality targets. He got, you know, you talk about it all the time, these fucking 1 yard touchdown passes from the goal line that the Raiders probably aren't doing. And Hunter Renfrow, I still think, is the preferred target in the red zone in this offense. So I think Adams will be fine for fantasy. I don't think he's in that dynasty wide receiver one conversation, not in drafts, but you know what I'm saying. End of the year, top wide receiver, just because I don't think he sees the volume. I don't think he sees the same red zone work. He's still obviously going to be in play every single week, but I don't like the move for fantasy. It's probably good for Derek Carr, but that's it.
Yeah, it's great for Derek Carr. I mean, if he had to end up anywhere other than Green Bay, the Raiders are probably a preferred spot because of his history with Derek Carr. They're like best friends. I mean, like these dudes like love each other. They, you know, he was trying to recruit him last year, you know, after that Last Dance thing. So, you know, great for Derek Carr, great for the Raiders offense. Yeah, but to your point, I mean, the Hunter Renfrow isn't going away. Darren Waller is there. I mean, these are guys that are going to require targets. Well, Devontae Adams hasn't had the
We seem to be having a technical difficulty. Walk lost some of his internet there, so I'll kind of forge ahead here while we're waiting for him to come back. But we're talking about the Raiders a little bit. However, moving on to his team, the Philadelphia Eagles, who brought back Boston Scott.
Well, hey. He's back.
He is back.
That's unfortunate. Did you lose me mid-Raiders rant?
Yes.
Ah, it's unfortunate.
You talked about them being best friends, then you cut out. And then I waited at it. When you texted me, internet dropped. They started to move on to Philly, but obviously we can just start again.
He's his best friend. His targets are going to go down. So you got none of the 614 targets.
You lost all your steam. Yeah.
614 targets the last four years from Aaron Rodgers. 183 per 17 game schedule. Roughly 11 targets per game. Also had 47 touchdowns in the last 57 games. None of that is going to happen with the Raiders. They have Waller. They have Renfro. There's other viable pass catchers that weren't in Green Bay these last few years when Devontae Adams was clearly the alpha target getter in the entire NFL. So makes the Raiders better. Devontae Adams probably looked at more as a low end wide receiver one in redraft. And, you know, he'll maintain viability in dynasty, but he's getting passed by some of these younger guys. He was already doing that. He's going to be in a wide receiver two conversation before we know it.
Yeah. This weird alphabetical order worked out an advantage. We go from my backyard right to your backyard, the Philadelphia Eagles, who brought in re-signed Boston Scott and brought in Zach Pascal. Pascal, I've had him on several rosters for several years, and I use him a lot more than I ever thought I would. And on an Eagles team that's had trouble developing the wide receiver position, the guy, he's a very capable professional NFL wide receiver. He's not amazing, but you could do a lot worse in real football and in fantasy than filling the bottom of your roster with Zach Pascal. I don't hate it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I called this signing weeks ago in free agency. I mean, he knows Sirianni's offense. Sirianni like gushes about Zach Pascal. He was a wide receivers coach when he was with the Colts. So this made just too much sense as a good depth piece. But Pascal shouldn't be better than any NFL team's wide receiver three. So
sure.
Hopefully with the three picks Eagles possess in the first round, they still address wide receiver. They don't think Zach Pascal is the answer, but good veteran depth. Yeah. He'll have a few spots here and there, but that you're still trusting Jalen Hurts at the end of the day. And I don't know that that's prudent. Boston Scott re-signed to a 1-year deal, just muddies the waters for Miles Sanders. Again, as always, Boston Scott plays against the New York Giants. You start him. Boston Scott plays against anyone else without an injury. You do not. So nothing big for the Eagles here. Moving down to the San Francisco 49ers, all we have here is re-signing Jamichael Hasty. I mean, they haven't traded Jimmy G yet. Sounds like Carolina might be the only option for him, as Baker doesn't want to go there, and Carolina doesn't want Baker, and I don't see San Fran trading Jimmy G to the Seattle Seahawks, and they seem to be the only two deck chairs left on the quarterback Titanic, so maybe there's some movement there in the next couple of weeks, but not a lot of change for San Francisco other than what they have lost. They lost Raheem Mostert in free agency. They also lost Trent Sherfield, but he wasn't really an integral part of their offense.
And I'm starting to think now they might just hold Garoppolo, let him start another year. If they don't,
I wouldn't be surprised. Be surprised if they held on to him. I mean, it's not like his contract is a death knell and it's his last year. So, you know, they walk away and he signs somewhere else for agency. Maybe they even get a comp pick for him. So they're probably holding strong to what their valuation is, because worst case scenario, yeah, they can start the year with him, or he's a high end backup and tutor for Trey Lance if they make the inevitable switch. But I mean, this team was a few plays away from,
sure,
you know, contending for the Super Bowl last year, twice,
with Jimmy G. And I think, and I wouldn't be shocked if they're just saying, because I heard that's why Indy didn't want him. He was going to miss the whole offseason, could be banged up a bit heading into the early weeks of the NFL season. They didn't want that uncertainty. So I could see them holding him and just waiting. And we see it every year. Somebody's going to get a season ending injury in the first few weeks of the season. Garoppolo becomes a lot more valuable and a lot more of an enticing option when, you know, Jameis Winston goes down or whoever, fill in the blanks.
Yeah. I mean, there's, There is a thirst for starting quarterback play in the NFL, and it's not going to change. So, yeah, I don't see them caving, you know, to inferior offers. You know, what's his name? John Lynch came out and said he had 2 second-round picks on the table for Jimmy G. I mean, they only used a second to acquire him, so that might not be that. I don't see them getting a first. So maybe they should have made that move. I think they were probably just trying to increase other teams' offers at the time with a hypothetical, you know, using the dynasty. Oh, I already got this offer in hand. And then the guy replies, he goes, oh, you should take that offer because there's no way I'm going to offer you that much, right? And then you're left holding the bag with a guy because you're just trying to squeeze more out of someone. But we'll see what the 49ers do, but nothing of interest right now. But there has been some interesting moves in their division mate, Seattle Seahawks, who are next in our alphabetical order. Free agency primer, whatever the heck we called it. Rashad Penny re-signed, which is good for him. I mean, I always would rather players go back, especially running backs to their team, even with the downgrades of losing Russell Wilson. They got Drew Lock in the trade. They got Noah Fant in the trade. And they re-signed Will Disley. So it kind of seems like they have solidified tight end. Again, that's what Seattle likes to do. Right now, Drew Lock said, Pete Carroll said he would be the starting quarterback for the Seahawks. And that's not good news for Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, but it's the reality of the situation. And
of course, especially Noah Fant. Well.
Yeah.
That's who's the biggest loser.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not the best case scenario. I mean, maybe Baker ends up there when this is all said and done and kind of stabilizes the offense, but Baker's not Russell Wilson. I mean, he's not going to bring that dynamic element. He's not going to bring those moon shots that Russell Wilson is famous for with the Seattle Seahawks and, you know, hitting Tyler Lockett for boom plays and Metcalf and also downgrade for all Seattle Seahawks, not telling anyone anything they don't know, but still happy for Rashad Penny than ending elsewhere, unless it was in the Miami Dolphins. That probably would have been the only place I would have been happy with Penny landing as a free agent.
And I don't think there's any reality to the Baker Mayfield thing going there, because I think that 9th overall pick, I think they got into that top 10 to get a quarterback, and I think they're anticipating, and I think they're right. I think Malik Willis will fall to him at 9, so I think that's where they're going.
Unless someone jumps him, I agree with you.
And I don't see anybody jump there except Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh doesn't have the firepower to get ahead of them. What they don't have a ton of picks to give up.
Yeah, it is from what are they at 20, I think, is where Pittsburgh's at. You know, to try and make that move up.
Your next three first, like these other
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. Interesting, but Willis needs a lot of development as well. So I don't even know that they would start him right away. They'd probably still start Drew Lock right away. So it's not gonna help the team short term. But you can see that being their vision long term is hit the reset button on the quarterback position. Moving from them to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We were just talking about Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They added Mitch Trubisky, and I guess because you have his name here, they re-signed Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Didn't make news.
Gross.
Upgraded quarterback. I mean, that's just a sad reality. Ben was washed the last 2 years. He's limited this offense significantly. Couldn't push ball downfield. The offensive line sucked too. He didn't have any mobility. So it was a dink and dunk patchwork offense. Trubisky brings athleticism to the table. I'm very interested to see what he can do. Yeah, they lost Juju in free agency, but they still have Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool along with Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris. He has weapons in this offense. So long as he's the guy this year, I mean, he has low-end quarterback one upside. Because of those weapons, because I think that the division has passed them by, especially with the Browns adding Deshaun Watson. So they're going to have to be in some shootouts. And Trubisky will bring a couple hundred yards and a couple touchdowns rushing with his legs.
Yeah, it could be a viable signing. We'll see what he can do when he gets a chance. Moving on to a good team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady retired. Unretired, came back, franchise tag Godwin. They brought in Russell Gage, who apparently was getting personally recruited from Tom Brady, re-signed Brashad Perryman, who for whatever reason Arians loves yesterday, re-signed Leonard Fournette, which I think is the absolute best spot in the world for him, at least for one more year. So guys already had Gage. Decent wide receiver 3. We've seen have success here when it was Antonio Brown. Not that talent-wise they're even close to the same, but I like all of these moves for fantasy for all of the players involved.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Gage, if for nothing else, will be a drama-free Antonio Brown, and he's Chris Godwin insurance, who's coming back from the ACL. So, you know, they saw Gage firsthand with the Falcons the last few years. He was good. I mean, he's not a one, and that's what he was kind of thrust into these last couple of years with the Falcons, you know, whether it's trading Julio or Julio getting injured or, you know, Calvin Ridley being out. You know, he's had to step up from times, and he's been decent. I mean, he's going to be opposite Mike Evans to start the year, and then once Godwin comes back, he's going to get the cornerback three on teams. I mean, he's going to have a decent season, all things being considered. Leonard Fournette, again, like I said, with Penny, best landing spot back in Tampa. You know, 3-21. He went and tested the market. He gave them some cheap deals last 2 years. They were, you know, kind of rewarded him a little bit. Obviously, everyone was on a wait and see, and unless and until Brady came back, right? I doubt the Bucs were going to commit much until they were sure he was coming back.
Yeah,
and these players probably weren't as interested in returning, you know, for on lesser deals unless Tom Brady was coming back. So it's nice to see them maintain some stability. When is the Gronk signing going to be officially announced? I mean, there's no way he doesn't come back to Tampa, right? I mean, I think he's as much said it himself. Why have they not signed him yet?
I mean, Brady and Gronk are both kind of team guys. Maybe they're both waiting until they could see what kind of money they could wiggle around and make it work for both sides.
Yeah.
And he's got nowhere to be. He's just on the beach, living life, clear water.
Yeah. I would be surprised if he didn't end up back there
at
the end of the day. So it would look very similar to a year ago. Down to the Tennessee Titans, traded for Robert Woods, who was on the outs after the Rams signed Allen Robinson. He's supposedly, you know, on track on the ACL recovery, so he should be good. He got hurt earlier in the year last year. And then they go and sign Austin Hooper, who was released by the Cleveland Browns. So, ironically, those are some significant upgrades to the Tennessee Titans offense.
I like both of these moves, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they tried with Julio Jones last year, and Julio Jones failed them. I mean, Mike Vrabel hated Julio Jones. It was clear. If you look at any of his brothers, like, Julio never practiced, you know, veteran, like, always injured, nagging. Like, sure, he would try and gut it out on game days, but you could just see he wasn't involved in this in that offense. Robert Woods will be heavily involved. You can use him as a runner. You can use him in various capacities. He's a plus blocker, which, you know, Vrabel is going to love in this offense. And then Hooper, I mean, there's just nothing else at the tight end position for the Titans. So he's automatically going to slot in as the third option in that passing game right away. Mm-hmm. So even on a low volume passing offense, I mean, it's better than what Hooper was getting in Cleveland last year, where they were about as low volume as you could get.
And we've seen this team with Tannehill have pretty productive seasons out of tight end. So Hooper's been the most talented guy since Delanie Walker left. So I could see him. Oh boy, me too. He could be in that low end tight end one conversation. Speaking of things we don't love, Washington Commanders.
This one's a little interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
Tears her heart out. McKissick, supposed to sign with Buffalo in the tamper period, changes his mind, comes back to Washington, stomping our fucking volume dreams for our guy, Antonio Gibson. But McKissick's been a viable pass catcher here out of the backfield. We've seen it. He's going to resume that role, unfortunately, and continue to stomp on our Antonio Gibson love. But it is what it is. Gibson does more with less, very efficient. And they made one of the bigger splash moves to start the season, trading for Wentz, getting him from the Indianapolis Colts. Best quarterback they've had in a while, despite any of Wentz's shortcomings. I think it's a good move. I know you like Wentz, and I'm not as low on him as everyone else. I think he's a perfectly capable NFL quarterback. The Colts were upset he shit the bed at the end of the year, but what are you going to do? Win some of the winnable games early in the year, you don't got to worry about that and put yourself in that position.
Yeah, I mean, just you said everything that needed to be said on the J.D. McKissick front. I mean, it came out initially that the Commanders didn't even offer him at first. And so when he got the deal from Buffalo, he just accepted it. And then Washington came back and said, we'll give you the same exact deal. Well, communicate that in advance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you get any deals out there, let us know. If they're reasonable, we'll match them. Like, they didn't even do that. Like, Washington is just such a shit franchise that they can't even do stuff like this right. And then he comes back and, yes, just pisses all over my Antonio Gibson fire that I lit outside of my house because I was so happy. And then Carson Wentz, yeah, I mean, he's the whipping boy of all whipping boys right now, just catches shit constantly. He wasn't the only problem in Indianapolis. You know, he has his flaws, but most quarterbacks do. I'm glad that he's getting another shot. Personally, I hate that it's coming back to Washington, but we've already been through this before when the Eagles traded Donovan McNabb to Washington. So we've seen an ex-Eagle quarterback come into Lincoln Financial Field as a now Washington Commander. He has value. I mean, they have some options there. It's good for Terry McLaurin. Maybe we can get some Curtis Samuel. Logan Thomas should be back. We mentioned the backfield, Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick. They still need to help fortify that offense as well. They need another pass catcher. This is a good draft to do it again. They did lose Brandon Scherf, but they did bring in Andrew Norwell. Like I thought, it's not a wash. It's a downgrade, but you know, at least it's not an epic downgrade for Wentz, who you know benefits from protection certainly as well as any other quarterback does. So you get another year, possibly two, of Wentz as a starting quarterback in your dynasty, in your Superflex leagues. And, you know, J.D. McKissick, I just don't know what to say. It's hurtful that you didn't care enough about us Antonio Gibson owners to just stick with your honor your agreement to Buffalo and go there. They just signed Duke Johnson instead. But, you know, free Antonio Gibson continues.
That concludes the team breakdowns. There's a few guys unsigned. Anyone you really want to jump into? I mean, the names are big names are Jarvis Landry, Melvin Gordon, Sony Michel. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a little interesting because he's been rumored to go to Kansas City. They have a vacancy for some speed now. But a lot of these other guys, I don't. Julio Jones is washed. I've never liked Will Fuller. Cole Beasley, get a decent PPR role somewhere. Beckham, whenever the fuck he comes back, might be where he goes. I don't know. Ronald Jones still has his truthers. I think he's trash, but everybody else out there, you mentioned Gronk earlier, nothing else. No real big exciting fantasy viable names other than those couple, unless there's anybody you wanted to talk about.
No, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the MBS to Kansas City news makes a lot of sense now. Also makes sense why he might have been holding out and not just accepting whatever deal maybe Green Bay was offering him to come back even after Devontae Adams was traded away. The rest of these guys are just vets. I mean, we said Beckham. I mean, he wants to go back to the Rams. I think there's mutual interest there, but you know, they're clearly not going to overpay him on the torn ACL. So we'll see where he ends up. Will Fuller, I think it's either the Cleveland Browns to reunite with Watson or he goes to the Colts. Those seem just make too much sense to me and Phil needs. I mean, shit, Will Fuller to Kansas City makes sense now, but you know, who knows? I mean, MBS is a, I don't say drug-free version of Will Fuller, but a baggage-free version of Will Fuller potentially. I mean, Julio Jones, I think that ship has sailed. Jarvis Landry, good PPR guy, but doesn't really move the needle in fantasy. There's no one else in the wide receiver room. You've mentioned Melvin Gordon. I mean, there doesn't seem to really be a market out there for him. Sony Michel faded down a stretch with the Rams. You know, everyone else, blah. I mean, Gronkowski already touched that. I think it's going to be Tampa Bay if he comes back. I mean, he flirted with the Bengals, but that was during Tom Brady's brief retirement and saying that he wanted to go play with Barrow. You know, so they went and signed Hayden Hurst. Not that that would block them from going to get Gronk, but I think if Gronk plays, it's going to be back in Tampa with Tom Brady at the end of the day. And then the rest of the names at tight end are blah. I mean, as much as I love Eric Ebron, I can't keep burning that candle at both ends anymore. And the rest of the guys are just too old to matter. So off of free agency and on to the NFL draft, Jonathan.
Oof, I love it. And then radically readjust my ranking. So that should do it. We went long here. Hopefully enjoy the two-parter.
I'm not going to enjoy editing it.
Thanks for chats. True story. But that should do it for myself. Again, be sure to check out our friends over at Expand the Box Score. Use the promo code 40. Get 4 free days of advanced stats there. Kick the tires on it. Check it out. See what you think. For myself, John DeBarry, my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, we are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here.
All right, daddy's got to go to work.